Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Habakkuk 3, the entire chapter. And Andrew covered the first two chapters in recent weeks. And I'll review what's transpired in those. You'll recall Habakkuk was a prophet in the time leading up to the exile of Judah to Babylon. And so it is as though Babylon is on their doorstep and the axe is going to fall almost any day. And Habakkuk's, the first two chapters in this prophecy of Habakkuk complained to God that Judah was wicked. And God's response was, well, Babylon is going to come and conquer Judah. And then Habakkuk complained again back to God, well, Babylon is wicked. So at first it was, Judah's wicked. Well, Babylon's going to conquer Judah. And then he says, but wait, Babylon is wicked too. And God's response was, the righteous shall live by faith, but the wicked will be destroyed. That's what's taken place in Habakkuk up to this point. The whole prophecy is laid out as a in the form of poetry. And this last chapter is especially poetic. It's even to be sung as a hymn, or it was for them at least, because the very last line says, to the choir master with stringed instruments. And the first verse is a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Sigionoth. And I won't ask what that means, because people don't know what it means. People have made suggestions what Sigionoth is. It does appear, that word appears in the title that David put on Psalm 7. And I think it would be worthwhile someday to study the similarities or parallels in subject matter and in the general tenor, the feeling, the emotion that comes across in Habakkuk 3 compared to Psalm 7. So there have been suggestions that maybe Sigionoth has to do with the emotion or the tempo or crisis level calamities and gigantic works of God that are mentioned. It's hard to know exactly. But anyway, there is that similarity. It's worth looking into someday. And he begins his prayer with an acknowledgement of his humble place before the Almighty God. And then he goes into God's great works, which maybe sound reminiscent of things Moses saw and wrote about, things Job heard, things David wrote about. So you may find those brought to mind as we read this chapter. His prayer begins in verse 2. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the holy hill from Mount Paran. I looked those up, and Paran is a mountain in Edom. Teman is a city in Edom, and they're both east of Israel. And so the idea may be that what he's about to describe here is like the rising sun. The sun rises in the east and its brilliance becomes evident minute by minute as the sun rises. So the glory of God rises in the east. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Selah. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. That word veiled caught my attention when I was reading this morning. And it reminds me of Moses' experience when he asked to see God, and God just showed his backside. And it was all that Moses could stand to see was the veiled essence of God's power. And here, as Habakkuk is describing this rising brightness that becomes maybe too intense, even that is really a veiled revelation. We can't be shown the fullness of it. We can only be shown even in this description or this prayer or this vision. It's just a veiled revelation of the power of God. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cush in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. Selah. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its heads on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place. At the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear, you marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Selah. You pierced with your own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. so Habakkuk is recounting God's mighty deeds that surpass anything man could try to assemble or accomplish. Even nuclear weapons cannot duplicate what God accomplishes with his mere breath. And verse 16 records Habakkuk's response. It would remind us of Isaiah's response at the revelation of God, and Moses' response at God's revelation to him. Men quiver in fear and tremble and can do nothing but quietly wait. We can have nothing to say in the end. Habakkuk had the boldness to complain to God, but in the end, he can do nothing but wait quietly for what God will do. And he had to wait quietly for Babylon to attack. It seems to be what he's referring to. Yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. So the trouble will first come to Judah, and later God will inflict his judgment on the invaders themselves. Because God is opposed to all wickedness, whether it's in his own people or it's in those who are not his people. But he comes to the rescue of his people, those who are truly his, those who are the seed of the woman. And so Habakkuk is able to say, God is my strength, and he makes me to walk, to tread on my high places. It sounds like Psalm 23. So no matter what happens, Habakkuk is able to glory in the Lord because God is sovereign and will accomplish his purposes on the earth and be the refuge to his people as he is our refuge. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that we are wicked and that your fury against sin would be hanging over us if it were not that it had already been poured out on someone else in our place. And we know there is no one who could absorb your wrath against sin and live except the divine Son of God. And we know there is no one who is worthy to be our substitute or would be accepted as our substitute except the divine Son of God. And we praise you for giving him that assignment, for putting him forward, for turning him over and sending him and subjecting him to the power of man for a time in his human nature. And we praise you, Father, that he rose victorious on that resurrection morning by your power. And we praise you for that demonstration that you have received his offering and that our hope of having him as our substitute is validated and guaranteed by his resurrection. We praise you, Father, for these provisions that you have made for this vast moral disease that infects all of us. And we thank you that You have made our feet to walk in the high places when we deserved to be buried by the mountains, and we'll one day see the wicked crying out to be buried by the mountains. Father, we ask for your blessing and provision for Chuck and Jeannie this morning. We pray that you would heal Jeannie of the cold that she's afflicted with. We pray for Chuck as he desires to help Lynn and Laura and relieve their suffering. And we pray that you would give him strength and ability and grace to be helpful to them in your good providence. We pray, Father, for their souls, that they would see your kindness and your providence, your providing help in their lives, that they would see you at work all around them and fall down before you in recognition of your place as their sovereign ruler, and in recognition of Christ as their only hope in this life and in the life to come. So grant, Father, that the ongoing difficulties of Lynn and Laura would be used by you in the end to point them to Christ, and grant your Holy Spirit to them, Father, that they would not have these pointers in vain, but that your power to lift the sinner out of the pit of despair would be manifest, and that they would be lifted up and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We pray, Father, for Pastor Barnes as he ministers to the congregation in Iowa this morning. Grant him strength, and grant that your word would come with power, and that you would grant a great blessing to that people in that congregation. And we pray that you would give them and Andrew wisdom concerning whether he would be the one you would call to fill their pulpit and to minister among them, or whether it would be someone else. Make that known, Father, and make these things clear to those who have to make decisions in these matters. And we pray for the blessing of your church throughout the world. Your church does not begin and end with the PCA, and it does not begin and end with the RPCNA. We pray, Father, that our Lord Jesus would cause his kingdom to flourish and to triumph, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against his bride, the church. And we ask that Dina's illness would be helped and even cured, as you would provide that solution. We pray that the changes that she's made in recent days to a new doctor and a new ways of treatment, we pray that those would have good results, and that you would, in your mercy, provide the answer to her illness through that means. We acknowledge that illness and pain and suffering is part of your kind work in our lives. Though it doesn't feel good, we know with certainty from your word, that it is for good and will do the work that you intend to accomplish. We pray that it would not be in vain, that we would not suffer in vain, Father, and we have confidence that we're praying according to your will when we pray that, because you have promised that all things will work, even these afflictions, that they will work for our eternal good. So may it be, and may your will be done. We ask, Father, that you would grant strength and blessing to your servant as he opens the word to us this morning, and keep us from discouragement in the smallness of our size, and let us not despise the day of small things. And so bless us, we pray, not because we deserve your blessing, but because you have adopted us as your children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.